Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
And hello, everyone. This is Samira Luna.
And this is Raven Fire Doll.
And this is the Tree of Life Hour here on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Tree Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people here in the Louisville, Kentucky area that's trying to create space for people, earth-based religions, and philosophies. And our show is all about the community and things we think the community should know or be discussing. And tonight's show, we have a special guest, Byron Ballard. And I believe you have been on the show before, right, Byron?
I think so. It's been a little while, maybe a couple years, but I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're excited that you're on tonight. And tonight we had you on specifically. You can discuss anything you want, but we specifically kind of wanted to go into, you've been talking and writing about power time. Before we go into that, though, can you tell us a little bit about yourself for those that may not know who you are, even though I can't imagine no one knows who you are?
Oh, you are sweet. I don't even know where to start with that. I'm a writer. I have two books on Appalachian folk magic. They are Staubs and Ditchwater was the first one, and the second one is called Acidity and Mad Stones. Both of those are available through my website, which is myvillagewitch.com, and they're also available at Amazon, but I'd rather you did them through my website because then I can sign them and send them out. I am one of the founders of a goddess temple in Asheville, North Carolina, and just think about that for a minute. Yep, there is a goddess temple in Asheville, North Carolina, on the buckle of the Bible Belt. And that is Mother Grove Goddess Temple, and we are a non-denominational goddess temple. So if you see the face of the divine through the Blessed Virgin or the Magdalene, if you experience her through the earth, if you however you experience the divine feminine, we are the place for you to be. We only have two rules at the Mother Grove Goddess Temple, and that's no hierarchy and no boy gods. But we have lots of different kinds of worshipers, every gender, all kinds of race, creeds, and colors. And we welcome everyone who wants to be in relationship and in community with like-minded souls who are likewise serving and listening for the voice of the divine feminine. I am a multi-generational Appalachian woman. I practice and write about and obviously speak about Appalachian folk magic, which I call Hill Folks Hoodoo. I teach classes all over the country about that. In fact, I spoke about it in Edinburgh this year. I was really lucky to speak at the Pagan Federation's conference in Edinburgh, Scotland in April, and talked about Appalachian folk magic and the remnants of that. So I do lots of different things. I travel, I write, I witch, I priestess. I do a lot of different things.
And when I talked about your writings, I was also talking about your blog and, of course, your Facebook. because you always post your blog on there. And I was kind of doing a little bit of research on your blog about Tower Time, and you've actually been writing about Tower Time for quite a while. So do you want to kind of give a little bit of an introduction to it?
Sure. I have been actually talking about, with colleagues, talking about this time that is our time for about a decade, and writing about it for a little less than that. It is, it's intuitive. It's, it comes from my love of history, but I truly believe that we are fortunate, and you may put the word fortunate in quotes if you want to, but we are so fortunate to live in the time when these ancient, toxic, hierarchical systems that we are so accustomed to dealing with are falling, are collapsing under their own weight and under the weight of their history. And I liken it to the Tower card and the Tarot. And I've been reading Tarot now for almost 50 years. So that is a, that's an imagery that's very comfortable for me. So I call it Tower Time after that card. And we are here to midwife the birth of a new thing, but also to be the death doulas of this old, old thing, these old things. And we see it all around us. We see all these come to mistrust over the years, but that have been such an important part of life across the planet. We are seeing in this country, certainly we're seeing the medical system collapsing. We're seeing the financial system collapsing, government, education, religion. If you can name it as an old and organized thing, you are seeing it begin to recalibrate as it falls. And that recalibration is sometimes slow, but sometimes it's very drastic and quick. We are seeing that now. I think it is writ large for us in the recent election, which has been such a surprise to so many people. But Tower Time basically is the opportunity for us, and not just us as pagans, but us as human beings. It is a time for us to think about how we want to govern ourselves and how we want to live rich and full and authentic lives. And I hesitate even to use the word authentic anymore. It has become, it's become one of those jargon words that means almost nothing. But to live a life that honors who we are, that honors our ancestors, that honors the land we live on, to do all of those things is an extraordinarily difficult job, and it's something that we don't always do well. But this is an opportunity for us to rethink how structures are structured, to look at different ways of sharing power, different ways of being powered, and ways of wielding power that are clean, that are life-affirming, and that will see us through as a species, if that, in fact, can be done.
Now, you talk about some of the signs. Do you think that there will be a lot more coming here? Like, do you think it's just it's starting to speed up right now?
You know, people ask me all the time, so when will Tower Time be over? Or when will Tower Time start? And I think it's a fairly slow-moving process. There are dramatic twists and turns, but I think the implosion is not fast. If you look at some of the work of John Michael Greer, I think he agrees with me on that. There are signs certainly around us, and part of it that is important for us, particularly as pagan people and as people who walk between the worlds of matter and spirit, it behooves us, I think, to look, to take a longer view and to look both forward and backwards, if that makes sense. It is a truism that so many people in our communities love history And so we tend to know a lot of history and to look back at great empires and how they have collapsed over the millennia, I think is terribly helpful as we're approaching what it is we do now. And also, frankly, to listening to our guts and listening to what intuition is telling you. And to be rational, yes, certainly. I am never going to tell people not to do that. But to feel your way through some of this is going to be very, very helpful. When I started writing about Tower Time, it was a disparate collection of essays here and there. But if any of you are interested in the documents as they stand right now, there's a file at my website on my blog. And again, that's www.myvillagewitch.com. And you just click on my blog, and you will find the Tower Time documents. And there are 7 or 8 of them now. Some are small little pieces, but some are fairly large about where I think we are and where we need to go. Part of it has to do with thinking about what ethically you will and will not tolerate. Part of it is thinking logically about your basic Maslow's needs. So shelter, food, warmth, clean water, fertile soil, to think about all the things that we as humans have to have to survive. Water right now is so at the top of our agendas from the action that was happening and is still happening with the Dakota Access Pipeline to what happened in West Virginia 2 years ago with the pollution of the water. We concern ourselves so much with the end of the petroleum era, but humans survived for an awfully long time without any petroleum products at all. But we don't survive more than a few days without water. And we have to have clean water. We can't have just any kind of sludgy water that the powers that be feel like they can pour any sort of contaminant into. We require clean water, and we require access to sources of water. And we need to get on that. We need to be looking at that. I live in the southern highlands of the Appalachian Mountains, oldest mountains in the world that are above water. And we went through a 2-month drought this autumn that culminated, as you all probably know, a couple of weeks ago in a horrific firestorm in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I still get a little weepy thinking about it. Gatlinburg has been a playground. You know, it's our Southern Appalachian playground. And I've been going over there for decades to play, mm-hmm. to listen to music, to sing, to just be a tourist in a funny little tourist town. And there are huge efforts underway now for Gatlinburg fire relief. We've been doing some things with Mother Grove Goddess Temple. But if people want to get involved, and I encourage you to do that, if you have any love for the Southland and any love for the mountains, our beautiful Smoky Mountains, best place to find out what those fundraisers are is probably to go to Facebook and go to the page for the wonderful band Tuatha De Dea, and they are listing all of the fundraisers. They are participating in fundraisers. Y'all may have heard that Dolly Parton has been incredibly generous, and last night she did a big kind of a telethon thing, and last I heard, she had raised about $9 million for Gatlinburg and for mountain relief. So I encourage people to look into that. But look to your own water sources. Where does your water come from? Yeah, you turn on the tap and water comes out. But where does that water come from? From a lake, from a river, from a reservoir, from an aquifer? Find out where your water comes from and make sure that that is secure. And make sure there's not a multinational conglomerate getting ready to come in and buy up your water source and bottle it and sell it somewhere else. We have all got to have our eyes on it. We can't, the time for sitting back and waiting is over. If we ever had that time, that luxury, time now to get involved, and I mean really involved.
Yeah, I know.
Y'all didn't think I was going to talk that much, did you?
Actually, we were kind of hoping you would, but I was going to say, I know the water here in Louisville is owned by a local water company. It's not a national water company. And it, because I worked there a long time ago. So I know a lot about the water company in Louisville and that it comes out of the Ohio River. It goes through a lot of processes, but it does come out of the Ohio River. If anything was to happen to the Ohio River, I know they have backup plans and stuff in place. I'm not sure what they are anymore because I haven't had to deal with them in so long.
Well, it's a good idea, no matter, for all of your listeners, wherever you are, figure out, learn your local water system, find your local water source, because last I heard, fracking permits had been issued to frack under the Ohio. So what do you think that's going to do?
Oh, really?
Fracking under the damn river. What do you think about that?
Well, that's not good, considering how you keep hearing about all the contaminated water from fracking already, and to do it directly under a river?
Yeah. It doesn't make
sense. And that's kind of scary, too, because we're on a fault line that hasn't gone off in years. It's ready to go off at any moment.
Well, us, too, down in Asheville, we just had an earthquake a couple of days ago in Asheville. Oldest mountains in the world. That's a slow fault line. It's inactive, pretty much. And we just had an earthquake. It wasn't a big one. It was about a 2.6 Richter. But, yeah, you think all this hydraulic fracturing doesn't somehow affect the Earth's crust? Logically, how could it not? How could it not?
Well,
I'm not trying to ring the doomsday bell, because I don't think that's what this is at all. But what I'm saying is that the notion that you can watch TV all day or play video games all day and go to work and just forget it is a ridiculous notion. And if you are a pagan person, if you consider yourself to be an earth religionist, you need to know what's happening with the ecosystem around you. You need to know what is happening with the planet under your feet. And, you know, we have resources at our fingertips. You just have to Google it and find it out. And then love it and then protect it like you love it. Treat it like that lover that gives you everything you ever wanted. Learn everything there is to know about it and love it with ferocity. And tend it and take care of it. And fight for it. And fight for it if you need to. Because we're going to need to. There's plenty of people perfectly happy to come in. I mean, I live in the Appalachian Mountains. People come here all the time with extraction industries. They clear cut. They clear cut again. They clear cut again. We're talking about now with coal for decades, and now we're talking about coming in and doing hydraulic fracturing so we can get the last of that stuff out. If you have ever seen a picture of or seen mountaintop removal, you're just touching the tip of the iceberg of what we as a species have done to this planet. And there will be a reckoning. I guarantee it. We are living in that right now. So, dig up your front yard, put in a garden. Well, maybe not now. It's like 4 degrees, but in the spring, grow a garden. If you live in an apartment, find a community garden that can use your help. Turn that brown thumb green. Learn about your water.
My thumb really is brown. Actually, my husband says my thumb is black because I kill anything.
Yeah.
Do you eat onions?
I've tried to do a burn. Yes.
Do you eat onions?
Yes.
Because it's easy enough to grow. Even you, if you've got a black thumb, can grow onions. I promise. I'm gonna come up there. I'm gonna come up to Louisville. We'll do some gardening. That'd be fun. That's the other thing I do too.
That would be fun.
I'm an herbalist, and I do, and I'm organic gardener. So yeah, it's something else I do. Little something fun. But yeah, I'm not trying to be all doomy, but man, there's a lot of stuff going on, and we get distracted so easily. We are, I always say this about pagans, we are a tribe of crows, the least little shiny thing, and we are on it. And then we forget that great big thing over there that's just not shiny and fun anymore, and we don't have that luxury now. We got to be on it. We got to do more than just give lip service to it. If we love it, we don't have to fight for it.
So you mentioned a couple of things that people can do to prepare, like learning where their water source is. You just said, you know, stick to the issues. What are some other stuff that people can do in their everyday lives to prepare for tower time?
Well, we're in it now. Tower time is happening right now. So maybe the foundational thing I would tell everyone to do is not to panic. And I know that sounds like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but don't panic. Think about it logically. Learn everything you can. You should learn about where your basic stuff comes from. So how does food get to where you are? Are there a lot of farms around where you are, or does it get shipped in from California? Where does your food come from? Can your food be grown locally? Look at your local laws to see how common property is used. So if you have a big parks and rec department in your city, go to them and say, tell me about the community gardens we do. Tell me how we ensure food sovereignty in my town. If you live in a rural area, you're going to be ahead of the game, maybe, because you may already have some skills about growing a garden. But if you live in the suburbs, if you live in a rural area, produce some food. You don't have to produce all your food. Produce some of your food. There is there's a wonderful program in England called, and the town is called Todmorden, and I'm going to spell that. It's Todmorden, Todmorden. And they did this program years ago that is now gone to villages all over the place called Incredible Edible Todmorden. And they dig up all the arable community land. They put beautiful raised beds in places where they can't dig. And they monocrop an amazing amount of stuff all over there, within the village, within the downtown. So part of it is changing not only our own attitudes about food sovereignty, but also working hard to change our municipalities, whether they're city governments, county governments, state governments, and make them aware that more important than a beautifully manicured lawn full of toxins is going to be a place where people can have rich, beautiful soil and grow food to feed hungry people. There are children in this country that go to sleep hungry every night, every night. And certainly there are adults too, but there is something about a child going to bed with an empty stomach that hurts. It should hurt us to think about that. So food is a big one. I mean, I've already talked about water. So know who's in charge of your water? Who has your water? Is it done by your city or county government? Is there a separate water authority that takes care of water and taking away waste? Find out. Find out, is it city, is it county? Do you live out in the country and you've got an outhouse? People still do that. Do you have a septic system? Figure all that stuff out. Find out where it is. Find out where the water comes from that comes through your tap. Because you know where you are in Louisville, your water comes out of the Ohio. A lot of people don't know where their water comes from. Good idea to find out. And then find out what sorts of things are protecting that water. Are there laws that protect it? Are there riparian boundaries that protect your water? Find all that stuff out. Find out what goes into your water, what kind of chemicals go into your water. Is your water safe? Is it safe? I mean, the people in West Virginia, they turned on their taps and it smelled like licorice. And it was toxic. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. There's toxic water all over this country. And then once you've discovered those... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, by law, and I know this from working with the water companies, they have to release legally their test, what the test show with the test on the water. And because I know we used to hand them out in flyers when we would, like, have the... we would have the Kentucky State Fair and stuff in Louisville. The water company would have a booth and hand out flyers with all the information in it about the water tests and stuff. Of course, it helps that Louisville Water has always been like number one in
right.
how good their water is. So they don't have anything to hide anyway. But, you know, legally they have to tell you what they treat the water with and what the tests are showing and everything. You just have to get them to send you the information.
Yeah. And here's a real basic thing that I've discovered in many years of trying to get information out of people, that being pleasant can make all the difference in whether or not they hand you that information or they basically make you do a Freedom of Information Act suit. So don't go in pounding your fist on the desk, demanding that. Just call up and say, I need to know what's going into the water. I'm doing a project on water. I'm doing some research on water. And ask them. Most people are happy to tell you what's going on.
Yeah. One of the best
and if they're not happy.
You can do if you're trying to do this research and stuff, you can always say, I'm a college student conducting a research project. They love that. They'll get what they want.
Exactly. And then be grateful. Thank them for the information. And then go over it with a fine-tooth comb. And bring in whatever resources you need to. The social media is a wonderful, wonderful nexus for bringing people together. A lot of us will say, so, Facebook hive mind, I need this information. And then you just wait for all of the people that you know to pop up with the appropriate information. We are not, you know, in this modern age, we are not short on tidbits and information. What we are short on is the synthesis of that information into genuine, genuine workable knowledge. So that's where our brains come in, our good brains, and work on knowing more and knowing deeply. It is better if you have a group of a half dozen friends that each one of you takes something you're passionate about. One of you does water. One of you does soil analysis. One of you talks to parks and rec. One of you makes friends with city government so that when you need the information, you have access to it. It's a matter of being strategic. We are dealing right now in North Carolina with a situation of we had a gubernatorial race for a governor who has lost our state untold millions of dollars in resources. I think everybody in the world knows about House Bill 2, which they call the bathroom bill. But what it did was it stripped workers of rights. It did an awful lot of damage. So that governor lost the election, but he fought it tooth and nail. And now what's going on in my state, in North Carolina, and I'm in New York right now visiting family. I won't be back home till Sunday. What's going on right now in our General Assembly is basically a coup where the party in power is trying to strip the incoming governor, who is of a different party, of any power that he might have, any power. And, yes, court cases will be fought. There's no question about it. But we all have to keep an eye on government all the time. So we have to know our land base. We have to know our neighbors. And it sounds like so much work to do in a time when everybody is working hard anyway. So that's when I go back to the don't panic. When you start to feel fearful and panicky and you think, what can I possibly do? There's nothing I can do. There's always a little thing you can do. I hope all the people that are listening right now do the basics. You do the basics of recycling. You do the basics of not wasting water. You do the basics of when you leave a room, you turn off the lights. I'm hoping everybody who would listen to a podcast about pagan life is already doing all of that. And yeah, what I'm asking you to do is a little bit more, just a little bit, to do what you can, and to try desperately not to be overwhelmed. For those people who read my blog, you know that I have this kind of theory, I guess, about pick three, because there's so many things that need our attention so desperately. So pick three things. Pick three things that you can really focus on and make a difference in. And if three is overwhelming, pick two. And if two is overwhelming, pick one. And know everything that you can know about that one thing. And fight for it and rally troops around it. Whatever that thing is, if it's environmental, if it's water quality, you be the expert on that. And you can do that in 15 or 20 minutes a day. You really can. And as a priestess, I'm also going to say this. I want everyone who considers themselves a magic worker, who is a healer, who works with energy, I want all of you, I want all of us to be the very best we can be. And what that means that I'm asking of you, that I'm begging of all of you, is that you practice magic until you're good at it, that you become adept at moving energy around, and not just play around it, and not just come to a festival five times a year and wear a pentacle the size of a salad plate. I'm talking about genuinely working the path of doing the craft, of doing the work. And the only way you get good at anything, and I will tell you this because I'm a terrible fiddle player, and the reason I'm so terrible is because I don't practice. But I want all of you who are listening, if you consider yourself any of those things, an energy worker, a magic worker, a healer, to do it. To do it so much that you are an expert at it, an expert, that you are adept, because the world needs that. The world needs those skills more than any of us can know.
We need to take a quick break, but okay. When we come back, if you don't mind going into maybe a little bit more specifics of what, as pagans, as far as the magical aspect, what we can do,
okay.
But we just need to take a quick break real quick. So I'm going to play Tuatha De Áh, because we were talking about Galen, and that's where they're from. They just, let everybody know, they do have a new song out. It's available on YouTube, on their YouTube channel. We don't have it yet here. It's called Appalachian Burning. But I wanted to play their song Green from the Green album, which was supporting the rainforest.
Yes.
So I'm going to play Tuatha De Áh and Green, and we will be right back after this song.
Thank you. Hi, this is Ravenfire Doll of the Tree of Life Hour. I know a lot of you out there listen to our show in the archives. And have you ever thought when you were listening in the archives, man, I wish I was able to call in and talk to them while they had a guest on or they were talking about something? Well, now here's your chance. This is especially for you, our archive listeners. If you want to ever add to our conversation, please feel free to dial us on our listener voicemail line. That number is area code 502-276-5665. Tell us your name. Tell us where you're from. Leave your message in your lovely, lovely voice, and we will be more than happy to play it on an upcoming episode of the Tree of Life Hour. We love our listeners, and we thank y'all very much for listening to us.
And we are back. This is Samara Luna here with Ravenfire and Byron Ballard, and we are discussing Tower Time. And we are back. And by the way, that was, again, Tuathadea and their song Green from the Green album. So did everyone make it through the break?
Yep.
Yep. Yep. And let me just give a shout-out to that album. Yeah. Let me give a shout-out to that album, the Green album. You can get it. You can go to Facebook to the Green album page. You can go to Tuathadea's page. And it is the creme de la creme of pagan music. And a lot of the proceeds go to the rainforest. So, yeah, go get that album. It's really terrific. Tons of great music.
Yes. So wanted to kind of talk about maybe a little bit more specifics of what, as far as pagans can do as far as anything particular like magic or ritual wise to help with the Tower Time.
Yep. Okay. Here we go. I actually want pagans to follow the cycle of the seasons. I know, shocking notion. We give lip service to it, but I want us to actually do that. I want you to know how the seasons affect your biosphere, where you are. So the other thing, I am a big proponent of simple, practical magic. I want you to be really good at it. So I want you to find something small that you can do all the time. In many metropolis areas, it's hard to find parking downtown. Learn a good parking spell. Practice it all the time. All the time. So that you're really good at it. And that will make you confident about other kinds of magic. You will not run out of magic. We are not allotted a certain amount when we are born, and if you use that all up by the time you're 14, you don't get any more. No, no, no. Simple, practical magics. Use them. Use them a lot. Use them all the time. So that when there's an issue, you don't have to go to your bookshelf and try to find a book by a pagan author that might possibly have a spell that will work for you. Oh, for the love of Mike, people. Practice magic. Practice it all the time. Be good at it. Practice it. Is that enough? No, wait. Practice it. Okay. The other thing I want everyone to be really exquisite at is grounding and shielding. I know that sounds like I am being the kindergarten teacher at Hogwarts Primary School, but here's the thing. There are so many people that don't know how to shield themselves, and they certainly don't know how to ground. Or if they do know how to ground, it takes them 20 minutes and a guided meditation to do it. People, you need to ground fast when you are feeling disrupted, when you are feeling not yourself, when you feel like the world is against you, and you don't know if you can take a step forward or back. Ground yourself and do it fast, fast. Practice it so often that when I say the word ground, you have already grounded yourself. Ground yourself fast. Likewise, shielding, practice it. There are a million different ways of shielding yourself, of that kind of personal energetic shield. Find one that works for you. Practice a lot of them till you find the one that works best for you. And then it is like Star Trek. It is shields up. You don't have time to draw a perfect 9-foot circle on the ground. You do not have time to call in the guardians of the watchtowers or whatever. You need to get your shields up, just like Star Trek shields up. They're up, and you are protected on all sides. And what that does for us as magic workers is that it puts us inside this place where nothing goes in and nothing comes out. And you can figure out from there, am I just having a crazy bad day because I'm about to get a headache or about to get the flu? Am I having a crazy bad day because my life is out of joint and I don't ground often enough? Or are there really things flowing around aimed in my direction? You won't know that until you have an effective shielding technique and you use it. Now, I don't recommend people going through life shielded all the time because there's too much information you're going to miss. And it takes a lot of energy to do it, frankly. But practice shielding so that you're really good at it. If 100% of the people who think of themselves as magic workers or witches or healers could learn those two things to be excellent at them and swift at them, grounding, shielding, I can't imagine what a different place the world would be. And I'm just talking about sheer technique. I want all of you who are listening to practice your technique. Yes, the divines are important. I am what used to be called a hard polytheist, and I'm an animist. So around me, in front of me right now, on my mother-in-law's table, is a beautiful philodendron, which is a life force in and of itself. And it's sitting here listening to all these things I'm saying, and who even knows? It's just glad that I'm spewing some of my toxic air in its direction so that it can utilize that and send me back some nice, clean oxygen. But I'm an animist. I'm a hard polytheist. I believe that there are non-corporeal energy beings around us at all times. That being true, the first thing all of us need to do as corporeal energy beings is to be good at what we say we do. So if you are a magic worker, if you are a witch or a wizard or a warlock or whatever word you want to call yourself, if you are one of those things, practice magic until you're really good at it. And even then, sometimes things fail. My grief right now is that for 2 solid months, I did weather work to bring rain into my region, and it never worked. Oh, we'd get a little spattering of rain, but not enough to really break the drought. And I just do my work, but there were plenty of us doing that kind of work, and it wasn't happening. So here's the other thing that all of us need to be aware of as magic workers, is that sometimes the work is not ours to do. It doesn't matter if you do cast that perfect 9-foot circle and call in the guardians of the watchtowers and bring in all the deities you want to bring into and access and feed the land spirits and the locus genii and all of that. Sometimes the earth knows best, and she will resist all of our efforts to tinker around the edges. So what was best for us and horrifying was for Gatlinburg was a big forest fire. We had forest fires all over the region because of the drought. And we know that there are seeds that only germinate after being exposed to that kind of heat. We know that if forests are unmanaged, which I think they should be, but if forests are unmanaged, one of the ways that that nature clears away the underbrush and the dead wood is through fire. And so horrifying as it is for us as humans to watch it and to watch the places that we love burn, nature knows better than we do. She always has, and she always will. So even though I'm advocating being excellent, excellent, excellent at your craft, I am saying that sometimes you will find, even with a circle of your most powerful, connected, witchy friends, sometimes the answer is still no. Sometimes the answer is nature knows best. And And we have to come to terms with that too, and to know what that means. Because we're not all powerful. What a surprise. We're not all powerful.
That is so true. We are getting at the end of the show, but I just wanted to ask, Ravenfire, did you have any questions real quick?
No. Not really.
Well, let me give my contact stuff again. You all, anybody, and you all can find me on Facebook. I'm there most days. Shaking my fist at the world and giving out unasked for advice. And I'm on Facebook as both reminders. I'm there as both Byron Ballard, and then I have a professional page that is Village Witch A Wanderin'. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram, though I'm not there often. And you can always go to my website, which is www.myvillagewitch.com. I'm going to be at a bunch of festivals this year too. I'm going to Pantheon in February, Sacred Space in March, and then I'm going to be at Blue Ridge Beltane. I'm going to be at Beltane at Our Haven. I'm going to the Florida Pagan Gathering, and I will ultimately be at FairyCon in November. So lots of stuff in between there. So I hope to meet up with some of y'all at some place.
Are you going to make it to
Tuff? I won't. That's the same weekend as the Blue Ridge Beltane. And also, I contacted our beloved organizer at Pagan Unity. She told me that they were all filled up. She didn't need me this year. You know, I don't like to go to a festival if I can't teach or do ritual or something. So I will be missing.
It's
going to
be weird, though.
Yeah?
It's going to be weird without you.
Well, let the organizers know that is what I will say. Say, oh, we want her back, and then we'll work that around. You know how that works. If we all whine
now
enough, somebody will give in. You get on that. You get on that, ma'am. Oh, it's
yeah,
so good to talk to you both.
This year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess me and Ravenfire will have to make sure that we make plans to go up to Our Haven because it's not that far away, and it's actually where we kind of started the whole community center thing that we wanted to start. So,
is it really? I've never been there before. My friend, the musician Brian Hanke, got me into that one. So, we'll see. I'm gonna be teaching a couple of hoodoo classes and who knows what up there. Lots of teaching, lots of ritualizing. It's gonna be good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, and it's only about, what do you say, maybe 45 minutes to an hour away from us?
Yeah.
It's, really?
It's drive.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
everything is 6 or 8 hours from me. Oh, you know, there's a new festival. I'm going to be there, too, Mystic South. That's going to be down in Atlanta. And you can find that on Facebook, too. Yeah. That's going to be a big one. I'm going to be headlining that with Dorothy Morrison. Yeah, Dorothy Morrison will be there on Orion Foxwood. Just a bunch of wild folks. It's going to be a good one. We love some festivals, don't we?
Yes. So, yeah, we're definitely going to have to try to make plans to come up and see you at Our Haven.
Do it. And I've got a new book coming out that you all, once you friend me on Facebook, that'll be coming out in the spring. It's about Embracing Willendorf, A Witch's Way of Loving Your Body to Health and Fitness. So,
I did a show on fitness and paganism. We did a show on that a while back. Fitness and paganism. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to get you back on when your book comes out because we can go back to it. Because I was trying to find sources everywhere, and there's not a lot of stuff to incorporate because a lot of people incorporate fitness. You see stuff all the time where people incorporate fitness into their Christian religion and stuff like that, but you don't really see a lot as far as pagan.
No, and this whole system is about loving your body and not punishing it. I'm all about love and pleasure and also preaching at everybody to know where their water comes from. But that's kind of love and pleasure, too.
Yeah.
It was good talking
and
to you.
Well, actually, all three of us tried to talk at once.
And actually, if you live in Louisville, on our community center's Facebook page, while you were having this conversation, I kind of went on the Louisville Water's website and got the annual report and actually posted it on our Facebook page. So for you all who are actually doing some Tower Time stuff, that's one less thing you have to research.
Yay. And, hey, I've been talking to some people about coming up to Louisville for the weekend and teaching some classes. So let me know if you all would be interested in that. I love Louisville. I'm a big fan.
Yes. And we'll have to, like, do dinner or something.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
Absolutely. Because I know my husband Ulf is like, oh my gosh, tell Byron hi.
I love it.
So.
It's going to be a traveling year this year, so I'll see y'all somewhere. But Our Haven would be good.
Yes.
I've never been there.
Yes, it's a great place. So, all right.
Beautiful.
Well, we are getting ready to do the events coming up, so I am going to actually put you on mute, but you can hang up if you like.
Okay.
Because I know you already mentioned a few events that you're going to be at.
Great. Thank you.
So,
love y'all.
And thank you so much for coming on. Love y'all. Love you too.
Yeah. And have a happy solstice.
You too.
You too. Have a good
day. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So, it is now time for current events. And I don't even have them up. But we do have Lady Vanessa on hold, and I'm going to bring her over because I know she had a few upcoming events she wanted to talk about. So I'm going to let her talk about those real quick while I look up the other events because I know I accepted quite a few over this week, too. So, Lady Vanessa, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Samira Luna?
We are doing great. So,
and
did
Raven.
Did you enjoy listening to Byron?
Hi, yeah, I did. I listened to it. It was fascinating to hear talk. Of course, every time I think about the fires, you know, in Gatlinburg, I just tear up. So but it was really nice to hear her, yes, talk. That was very nice. I have quite a few new entries to add to your collection of events, at least a couple. Are you there?
Yes, listening.
Yeah,
we're
okay.
Here.
Okay. I have a few new events to add to your collection. Tonight, Friday and Saturday, Sticks and Stones is celebrating its new location at 2234 Dundee Road, and that's in the Highlands in Louisville, Kentucky at 40206, the zip code. If you want to come on out, I'm reading in the evenings at the store, and it's a really wonderful space right in the busiest section of the Highlands here at Dundee, so it's really nice at Douglas Loop.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's a really nice location. Like I say, 2234 Dundee Road. Come on out and see all the new and exciting items in the store. And then I did want to let everybody know that I've talked to Jack, the coordinator, and there will be no Witches and Pagan Night Out on December 27th this month. So that will not be held. So I thought I'd share that. And then on the 18th, we're going to go back in time a little bit. That's this Sunday night. The group, the CUPS group, the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans at the First Unitarian Universalist Church here in Louisville will be sponsoring the snacks following the incredible Singing Solstice event. And we'd love to see everybody come out for that performance. It's just amazing. The music and the story is very moving. And that's at 4th and York at 809 South 4th.
That's going to be both the 17th and the 18th, though, right? They're doing
That is true. They have one on the 17th as well. That is absolutely accurate. Yes, they're doing it on the 17th in the evening as well. Check their website for exact times. But, yes, they're having on the 17th and the 18th in the evening. That's true. So the cups will only be doing the snacks for the Sunday night event. So we'll be there saying hi to everybody. It's very moving. It's the descent of the goddess myth in singing form. It's beautiful. So I would encourage people to come out for that. And I have a new announcement. Well, a new announcement on the 12th, if all goes well, and I think it shall, the 12th, Sticks and Stones will be having a full moon, an open public full moon circle here in the Highlands. And we'd like to invite the public to come by for that event. So that will be on the 12th of January. And then finally, my last thing on my agenda here is the 26th of January, after a long sabbatical, Wick and Reeds will reconvene, and we will meet at the Cure Lounge at 1481 South Shelby Street here in Louisville. So that's all I got. That's what I got.
Well, that's quite a few I don't have to mention now.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Glad
so
I can.
The ending today is the new Kilts and Corsets campaign by Tuatha Dea. They have an Indiegogo campaign going. Just look up Kilts and Corsets. Let's see. December 16th,
nice.
Tomorrow, 2 to 7 p.m. At Akasha's Way, they're having an open house, and they will be
great.
Having a Yule open house, and all items are 20% off for the month of December.
Wow.
And that is in Adams Street at Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Right.
Then we also have December 17th, Appalachian Granny Magic 201 Part 2 at Everything Under the Moon in Cookeville, Tennessee. Class is $20. I'm not sure who's teaching it, but it's at Everything Under the Moon. Again, that's 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. on December 17th. So you already mentioned the winter solstice singing ritual. There is a Yule celebration at Edwin Warner Park in Nashville, Tennessee on December 18th, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Please bring food to share, lanterns, because there's no electricity, warm clothing, a blanket, and a few dollars for donations. We'll be indoors, but it might be cold. Let's see. Also, the Mother Grove Goddess Temple that Byron is a part of will be having their winter solstice with Mother Grove singing up the sun December 18th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So come join us as we enter into the darkest time of the year to celebrate where we have been and to sing and dance and give energy to the sun's return to light the path before us.
Where's that located?
That's at Mother
Grove
Temple. Yes, and at 9 Swan Street, Nashville, North Carolina, at the Cathedral of All Souls. They are requesting donations for this tree are welcomed, as well as financial donations to keep the temple up and running. Let's see, December 21st. La Florian Nature Sanctuary in Bedford, Indiana, from 5 p.m. I don't know if this is all night or what, but it says it starts at 5 p.m. December 21st. They're having a winter solstice celebration at La Florian. There is a Yule Open Circle December 21st at 6 p.m. at Akasha's Way in Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah, and then also we have, since we're on the Tuatha Dea thing, Tuatha Dea live
yeah.
and free on Instagram, Saturday, December 31st at 8 p.m. Don't have too many details except that they have an Instagram.com/Tuatha_Dea. Let's see, Tuesday, January 3rd, Akasha's Way is doing something. I'm not sure if this was made. Never mind. There's no details in the title, just says Akasha's Way, so I'm not sure what's going on there. But January 4th, they are having a house blessing workshop at Akasha's Way in Fort Knox, Kentucky, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. We could all use a house blessing. Let's see. Let me go to the end of the week.
We got something on Friday, January 13th, and that is the Little Heathen Pub Moot.
I'm going to get there. Wick.
We're going to be at Wick on Bardstown Road again. Usually we are in the pool room, and it's for all heathens and heathen adjacent here in Louisville. Basically, we sit around, we eat pizza, we drink beer, and we talk. Well, not everybody drinks beer, but most people drink beer. or some sort of adult beverage. But if you're not 21 yet, if you're like 18, you're fine. It's anybody can come into Wick's before 10 o'clock anyway. So, it's going to be at 7 o'clock, Wick's Pizza on Baxter Avenue, which is the original Wick's, the Wick's in the Highlands. Please be there for the heathens and heathen adjacent out there.
That's wonderful.
And one last thing
I'm
going to
be able to make
is...
that.
Huh?
Sorry. I said I'm actually going to be able to make that one, finally. I'm so looking forward to going to the moot.
Cool.
The heathen moot. Okay.
And, okay. And I just wanted to say real quick, one last one. January 7th, Collective Consciousness Healing Circle. And this one is at the Sanctuary Wellness Center in New Tampa, in Tampa, Florida. And it says Breach Park Drive in Tampa, Florida. It says the primary purpose of participating in this circle is a way of honoring one another as collective human beings. Cost per person for the circle is a love donation of $25. So I don't know much about the center, but it was just something that came up on my feed that I wanted to share that sounded pretty interesting.
Right. Right.
So, real quick, I guess that is the end of our show tonight. Ravenfire, what are we having next week?
It's Heathen Perspective. As of right now, I think Ulf and I are going to be actually talking about something that's going on television right now, the real Vikings thing. So come in and come on and listen to us.
Okay.
All right, then we will talk to everyone next week. Have a blessed evening, and thank you, Lady Vanessa, for coming on and informing everybody what's going on.
Thank you. It's always my pleasure.
So everyone have a good night.
Y'all be safe out there.
Oh, it might help if I had some music ready. Sorry, I got into the events coming up. And my computer is freezing up. Always when you're in a hurry. So let's see, here's a new group that I've never played before, and I have no clue what they sound like, so please bear with me. And this one sounds like it would be interesting. So it's Black Sun Prophets is the name of the group. And the name of the song was Jesus Was a Witch. So I have to play this just because I have to find out what it is. So what do you think, Ravenfire?
It sounds interesting.
So, yeah, so I'm going to play this. Don't get mad at me if it is really bad or anything because I've not heard it before. But usually we don't have stuff that's too bad, loaded. So everyone have a blessed evening. We'll talk to you next week. And here's Black Sun Prophets and Jesus Was a Witch.
Listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans Unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.